thank him for all of what he's done for us and all the blessings that he has brought to us in our life. And I just thank and praise his name today for that. I tell you, he is worthy. He is worthy today for all of our praise. And everything that we do, we must do it for him. We must not do it for self. If you will, this morning, turn to the book of the Psalm of Solomon, chapter 4. I believe it's verse 12 where we'll start reading. But you just allow the Lord to lead this morning. If the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, if you need to come to the altar, you just come on and come. Don't allow anything to hinder you from coming and allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to be honored and glorified, because he is the reason why we're here this morning. It's nothing I've done, nothing you've done, but it's all what he's done for us. And I thank him for that. I really do. I thank him for that. You wired up here a little bit. But here in the book of Solomon, we see where the bridegroom speaks, which is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe he's speaking here to the Israelites. I believe he's speaking to people that's all around him back then. And first we have what the bride is as seen in Christ. But here in chapter 4, in verse 12, let's go back up to verse 10. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse, how much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thy ornament, thou all spices. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garment is like the smell of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruit. Campire and spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloe, with all the chief spices, a fountain of garden. A well of living water, a stream from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come thy south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden, and eat his pleasant fruit. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this day. And Father, we thank you for the people that's come out this morning. Now, Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you will take the hearts, that Father, that their hearts will be turned unto the Word of God this morning. Father, with their ears, that they may hear what you're saying to each one of them. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, as we try to speak on this message and in thought, Father, We thank you for that. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, not only will you speak to them, but speak to my own heart. And God, we just want to thank you and love you, because it's in Jesus Christ's name that we even can come to the Father. And we want to thank you and we want to love you today. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen and amen. I want to bring a message on the thought about the Garden of Grace. The Garden of Grace. And we'll see right here in the Song of Solomon, chapter 4, and verses 12 through 16, is talking about the King's Garden. It's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ's garden. Now, who is his garden? What is his garden all about? His garden is about each one of our lives and this place that we are worshiping him in truth and spirit this morning, in the boundaries of this land that we are sitting on today. The church is like to a garden. It is a piece of land separated from the rest. The land is enclosed from the beaten road of this world's traffic. We notice the land is separated from the other property that is around. Why? Because we have boundaries. We have boundaries out here. And within them boundaries, we must realize that it's God's boundaries. And we must stay within God's boundaries of separation. We must stay in God's boundary of love. And if we do, then we'll be okay. But as long as we stay into his boundaries, and within his boundaries, then everything else is going to be okay. We can go about doing what he has called us, he's asked us to do as Christians. To go out and visit, go out and witness, and go out and tell somebody about the love of God. And if we don't go out and tell somebody, no one else is. But you know, I thank God for that. I thank God that we can have the love that only God can give. And we can see the distinguishing mark of a Christian is separation. We need to be a separate people. We need to be separated from the world. We need to be separated from the sin of the world. And how are we separated from the sins of the world? Is be close to Jesus. Be close to him. How do we get close to God? Through his word. How do we get close to God? Through prayer. How do we get close to God? That's coming to church. That is coming and having the fellowship around God's word with his people. We cannot go out into this world and have fellowship. Because if we do, then you can just about bet you that somebody is going to complain. Somebody's going to say, well, you know, they're coming out and over here and you know, they all in it, but they all these goody shoes and all of that and everything, fanatics and all of that and everything. Every time you see them and they're talking about Jesus and everything about them is about Jesus. They're peculiar people. They're crazy people. Well, they can call me crazy all they want to. They can call me peculiar all they want to. But I promise you one thing. I'm going to mention the name of Jesus somewhere. I may not talk that the whole maybe 30 minutes if I'm sitting there with somebody. I may not speak about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I may not speak about him the whole 30 minutes, but within that 30 minutes that I'm sitting there, I'm going to get his word in there somehow. And we can do it. We just have to wait for the right time. Have to wait for the right time and the right opening. And he will give us that right time. He will give us that right opening. But not only that, separation is from the world. We need to be separated from the world. We need to be separated from the world. Why? So we can receive God's blessings. God is never going to bless a Christian as long as he goes out there and plays with the world. He's not going to bless us. He's not going to bless me if I go out there and play with the world. And if I go in and if I go and condone what they're doing. Yes, we can go into the world, but we must not be of the world. We must not be like them. We must not stay around them while they're telling dirty jokes. Or they talking about this one or talking about that one. And I know today, every time you can turn your head and somebody's talking about somebody. Somebody is running down somebody. Somebody else is running down another church. We should never run down anybody. We should never run down another church. Because we don't know what's in the other individual heart and life, excuse me. But we don't know what's in their heart. We don't know what they're dealing with. Because there are people like this hurting. They're hurting on every hand. And they don't know which way to turn. They know that if they turn to the church, that a whole lot of times the church will let them down. The church should not be a place where we let down an individual. The church needs to be a place of lifting up. Not pulling down, but lifting up. You know, I can be down 3 or 4 days or something like that, and I can come in here on Wednesday night or whatever, and you lift me up. Why? Because I'm around God's people. I know what God's people love. We must know that. But we, as Christians, we are shut up into a garden. You take a garden that someone gets up during the year and everything. They'll go out there in the fall and they'll go out there and turn the land over, turn the weeds over and break up new ground and everything for next spring. So that when winter time comes, winter time will go about and the cold weather will go in and kill the insects and the bugs that's down in the ground. Not only that, it will die out the weeds. We need some weeds to be died out. We need some weeds in our life to be died out. And how are they going to be died out? They're going to be died out by no other one but the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must do that. Verse 15, it says, a fountain of garden, a well of living water, a stream from Lebanon. Well. Where's our well at today? Where's your well at today? Where's the refreshing of your soul coming from today? Is it coming from the world? Is it coming from when you got out of church, you can make it down to wherever you eat at or something like that? Is that your living water? Is that the water that you're drinking from? Is that the fountain that you're drinking from? If it is, you're drinking from the wrong fountain. We need to be drinking from the fountain of God. And I'm so thankful that I can be in God's house each and every time the doors are open. And if there's a revival close by, that I can go to a revival. But I'm trying to get, I want to get close to God. We all need a closer walk with Him. Who's in here today that feels like that you're close enough to God? Nope, none of us. I'm not that close to God. Hey, I sin every day. But thank God, He's given me the Holy Spirit that lives within my soul, with lives within my heart, that I can come and I can confess my sins unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ will forgive me of that sin. And then the Lord Jesus Christ will turn to the Father and says, Father, forgive him, for he's one of mine. You say, well, how do you know that Jesus takes it to the Father? How do you know that Jesus is going to take it to the Father and say, Father, forgive him of his sin, for he's one of mine? You know the reason I know how of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to accept that? He has a personal relationship with him. And we need to have that personal, intimate relationship with him. So when we do something wrong, we know that we must go to him and ask for forgiveness. In Isaiah chapter 51 and Isaiah 51 and verse 3, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Well, we just read a few months ago where the garden is closed in. It not only is closed in from the world, no one outside of the garden can ever be able to come in until they have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we were saved, the Lord fenced us in. He has protected and shielded us by relating himself to us in so many vital ways. When the Lord saved me, he fenced me in. Why? Where Satan cannot come in and destroy my life. How did he fence me in? He fenced me in by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Ghost of God. That's the way that I was fenced in. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people that are upon the face of the earth. We are special people. Why are we special? Because God the Father allowed his Son to leave heaven, to come to earth, and go to a cross, and die on that cross, that we could just trust him and believe in what he done. He done it for us. He done it for me. He done it for you. He done it for the whole humanity. He done it not just for the white, but he done it for the black. He done it for the red color man. He done it for all of the human race. And, you know, I don't know if I've ever said anything to you or not, but I tell you, if an individual comes into the church, they come in with a pair of bib overalls, if they come in not dressed exactly as we think they ought to be dressed, we must realize one thing. We don't know the heart.
We don't know if any of them got saved or not. Yes, maybe they got saved, but maybe they've come a hard time. Maybe they've lost a job. Maybe they've had health problems. And the insurance man and the health and the hospital bills and the doctor has taken all the money. We're not to be judgmental. We need to have a forgiving spirit. We need to have a loving spirit. We need to have a separation down deep in our soul that it's embedded there. That when we go out into the world, we don't really have to say, well, I need to think about this for a minute.
Should I go away? They'll be laughing. I know some of y'all go to church. Should I go away? No.
At that particular time, I shouldn't go. Why? Because if I go, then what are they going to do? They're going to clam up. They're going to clam up, and they're not going to speak freely. And on top of that, 9 times out of 10, they're going to end up telling you a lie and telling me a lie. So we must not put the people in a position to where they're going to lie about things. Because, you know, it's better for an individual
telling the truth, saying,
then tell one of us,
yeah, I'm saved. I used to be in church.
Used to be don't get nobody nowhere. And we have to lean on Jesus. We have to lean on Him. Because we have His shoulders that we can lean on. We have His shoulders that we can lay our head upon, the high priest there, for support. We are in His hands for protection and fenced in with His love. The garden is flourishing. Is the garden flourishing today? No. At one time, the garden was flourishing. The house of God was flourishing. Why? Because when you had revival, you'd have people to come out. They would come walking from down the street. Why? Because you was having revival. They wanted to hear something positive. They didn't want to hear something negative, because that's all they've heard. They want to come and hear something positive. They'll come, and if they can't get inside the church, then they'll stand outside the door and they'll crack the door where they can hear. They'll come and get in the choir. They'll come and stand in the hallway. Where has that gone? What has happened to that? God has not changed. God is still the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He never changes. We are the one that change. And if we change, where have we changed that? We've changed within our heart. We must have, if anybody, must have a
joy and unspeakable, and be happy all the time. We'll go out in the world, then the people should look. They'll see a smile. We'll go in, we'll eat, then they'll see us bow our head and say grace over the food. And we won't say it under our breath either. We'll say it loud. We don't have to say it loud enough where everybody hears it. We can just say it. And saying it like that is not where you want to be seen, but it's where you are trying to obey a testimony to the world. The people in the world
need somebody to live the life and have a testimony that they can go, that they can go to, and they can say, well, you know, I'm having problems. I don't know who to turn to next. We as Christians, if we would really, honestly, say to ourselves, I want to do everything I can to be Christ-like.
If we do everything we can to be Christ-like, then the ones as I hear heard of, they will come to us. They will ask us to pray for them.
And I still say today that what we need to do, if somebody comes up to you or me and asks us to pray for them, we should not say, all right, I'm going to remember you in prayer. Because I'm speaking for myself right now. Me, myself. As soon as I would leave our presence,
I probably forgot about the presence with. Brother James Albert taught me one lesson years ago. A lady at Walmart was in that shop, and he needed fans. She come up to him and asked, "Did you pray for me? Did you pray for me? Family. Pray for me and my husband and the children." He said, okay. We were standing, I don't know if you know where the old Walmart was, and where you had the aisle and went from the aisle, went all the way down. That's where he was standing, right behind the last register on that end there.
He still does that today. And I try my very best to do it also. But sometimes you just get caught up with things around you and you just fail to do what your intentions was. But the fragrant of life is the life of sacrifice. What are we willing to sacrifice? Each one of you I know have sacrificed down through time to keep the doors open here. You see, that's in the past. Now, He's willing to test us again. Like I said last Sunday, I have a vision. I have a vision for this church. I have a vision that people will start coming in. People will start coming in and start getting saved. And me and my wife, and my daughter was talking about it last night. The same thing. And I'm going to ask y'all to help me pray about that. But I know that people come in. When they come in, they're going to hear the gospel. If we know that God's word will not return void, it is not going to go out there and not lay on someone's heart and be thrown back up here or thrown to the side. It's going to do exactly what God intended for His word to do. That's either to bless people or bring people under conviction. And not only that, but people will come to the altar and pray for what the church needs. You know, the church itself, we don't need anything. The church, speaking of the church, I'm speaking to each one of us as individuals. We don't need nothing else. It's nothing else we need. It's things that we want. But really, when it comes right down to it, and looking at the needs, we know that God is going to supply our every need. So what else do we need? I don't need nothing. I mean, I've always had plenty of food on the table to eat. You can see that. I've always had clothes on my back. I've always had a shelter over me. I've always had a few dollars in my pocket. What else do I need? Nothing. The only thing that I do need is to have a closer walk with Him. Like that painting that they have out, and I know y'all have seen it. You may even have one at home where Jesus is walking down by the beach in the sand. We may see just one
footprint. But Jesus is always that in this. He will pick us up and He will tow us the rest of the way. He will tow us the rest of the way. A fragrant life is a life of sacrifice. Are we fenced in today? Are we enclosed? Are we enclosed into the garden of grace? The garden of grace. Grace is unmerited. It's a favor from God. It's unmerited. We can't earn it. We can't work for it. We can't do nothing for it. We have to accept it. And going back to what I was talking about a little while ago, and I'm going to close with this, but I do need for y'all to pray. And y'all pray for me, because I got a feeling. And I got one of them feelings down deep in my soul that it ain't going to be long before we're going to have to use the battery. I believe that. But what I want to ask you to pray for, I want you to pray for that too. And the other thing I want you to pray for is me trying to get up to the baptistry and getting over in the pool. Because I know it's a long flight up, it's a flight of steps right now. And my wife and my daughter, they say, "You'll never be able to get it. You'll never be able to go up on it." I said, "Yes, I will." If God saves an individual and they need to follow the Lord in baptism, that God's going to give me the strength and God's going to give me the willpower to climb them stairs if I have to climb them on my hands and knees. If I have to climb them stairs on my hands and knees. Because I feel like this. If an individual is willing to give the heart and the life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and God, and the Lord Jesus Christ through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, they're willing to save them, I don't have no problem getting up there. Because I believe God's going to get up there. My wife, and I have to tell my wife and daughter about it last night. They said, "Well, you better start praying." I says, "I know. With this old leg of mine, sometimes it don't want to work. Sometimes it will work. But I thank y'all for coming out today. You didn't have to come out. And you just didn't come out for me, I know. You come out for one reason only. It's because of your love for Him. That's the only reason I come out. Because of my love for Him. And His love toward me. He loves me. And I don't know why He does. He loves me in spite of myself. I don't know why He does. But He does. You know how I know? Right here. us to have love for the people. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Our Father, this morning, Lord Jesus, we just thank you. Father, for that garden, Lord, that you have set aside, Lord, for your people, that we can be enclosed in from the world. And Father, that you may be able to use us in some capacity here. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that we go out this afternoon and this coming week, Father. We pray that your love will shine within us and through us. It will illuminate around us, that people will say, they got to be a Christian. They got to be a Christian. And I need to know something more about what they are doing. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you just help us. As every head bowed and eyes closed, I just want you to stand this morning, if you will. And I'm going to ask you, if you have a special request on your heart for the church, for your family, or whatever, and would you mind raising your hand? I just want to pray for you. Yes, 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 all the hands. All right. I'm gonna pray for each one of you for that here in a moment. But now, would you be willing to come to the altar, come to the front this morning, and just allow your cares and your burdens and lay them at the feet of Jesus, the way he can use you, that we can pray for revival, not just a series of meetings. Brother Paul, he can't bring revival. He can't bring it in a suitcase. The only thing Paul can do is bring what God has spoken to his heart about. Only the Father in heaven can give a revival. Are you willing to come this morning and say, Lord, I don't know what it is, but I need to have an old-fashioned, blood-bought revival in my heart that will stir my soul. Yes, one's come. Yes. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the ones that has come this morning. And Father, we thank you for every uplifted hand this morning, Lord, that is carrying a burden. And Father, has the cares of the world. Lord Jesus, we ask, Father, that you would just touch them. Father, help them, Lord, that they can be able to lay the burden at the feet of Jesus. And as they leave the burden there, that Jesus will be able to take care of the burden. And Father, we also know, Lord, that if they don't leave the burden there at the altar and leave them with Jesus, It's nothing Jesus can do, because we'll be involved in it too. And Lord, we don't need to be involved in it. We need to trust Jesus Christ to take care of the burden. And Father, we know what your word says. Your word says it, that you will take care of them. You're no respecter of person. And Lord, we just ask now, where people is on the altar, this praying, they may be praying for a loved one. They may be praying for a family member. They may be praying for a co-worker. Or they just may be praying and wanting that closer, closer walk with you, Father. Father, we pray today that you'll answer the prayer request that's laid upon their heart. The Father, as they bring it, they leave it at your feet. The Father, that you will give them the answer, Father. Because it's not that we don't trust you. We do trust you, Father. But sometimes, Father, when you do answer our prayer request, Lord, we'd love to see results of it. It would help us. We're not questioning you, God. We know that you will do, and you'll answer the prayer request. You will answer it in your own time. And Father, we this morning come to you and asking, Lord Jesus, through the precious power of the Holy Spirit, that you would give Brother Paul the very words that, Father, that we need here at Faith Baptist Church, Lord, that can draw us all closer unto thee. That, Father, that we can have a burden upon our heart to see souls saved, and Father, seeing people come into the house of God. And Father, that you'll give us names, Father, where we can go and visit. And Lord Jesus, we pray right now, Lord, what's upon the heart, we ask, God, that you'll grant it. And Father, we just want to thank you. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior and our Redeemer and our Helper. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All God's people said amen.
We forgot to mention it. I wrote a note. The high